Angels, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Caron, Hani Massoud, Renee Feltz, Trina Nadura, Amel Ahmed, Nat Needham, Dennis Moynihan, Nicole Salazar, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Paul Huckabee, Engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. Coming up next is Positively Revolting with Linda and Lind. The time now is 7:59.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meetings policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
Join me, Lanita Duke, every first and third Friday between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. on From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary. Joining me is Professor Diane Johnson and political analysis provided by Landon Crowell. From the Grassroots, every first and third Friday between 8 and 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning, Portland and the world. You are listening to Positively Revolting. I'm Lynn. I'm here with Linda Olson Osterlin, our beloved guest host.
Good morning.
Hostess. And Ani's going to be back next week. We're going to be interviewing David Corton for our mini. We're having like a happy holiday membership drive next week. And who will be interviewing. David Corton's really fun. You guys should tune in. And of course, it's a great time to get your holiday gifts as a membership to KBOO. That is a satisfying, lovely thing. And it'll be something you can do on not this day. This is our annual Buy Nothing Friday show. The day after, we can call it Gratitude Day. We can call it Genocide Cover-Up Day. A lot of Native people call it the day of mourning. It's definitely, for those who can afford it, the day of eating.
A death day for turkeys across the nation. No, I imagine that's a few days before.
Yes, or weeks before. There were some rumors that Trump went in and executed the turkeys that Obama had pardoned, and we didn't hear of any turkeys being pardoned this year from that.
Oh,
from
no, they did. They came out. He did. He pardoned two turkeys.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we want to talk about by Adbuster started this many moons ago, and it's just I'm going to read something from there. As they say, the more trivial, vulgar, and banal holidays become, the more accurately one senses the approach of something uncanny and terrifying. Mm-hmm. So participate by not participating in this. As the shopping season approaches, which is what I'm calling the, quote, Christmas, that's the war on Christmas for me or whatever, the shopping season approaches, keep in mind that buying stuff will never, ever make you happy. You get that minute of, and I do it, it's this minute of, ooh. And like many drugs, it doesn't last for very long. It might lift your spirit for a few hours, or if you're lucky, maybe a day or two. But in the end, and we mean the real end, your connections, your friends, your family, and your human experiences are all you've really got. So this year, at this moment in history, when the existential threat of climate change is breathing down our necks, why not do something wildly different? Ignore Black Friday. Decide to do things differently this year. And I've heard some research that, like, it's down 37%.
That's huge.
Which is, yeah. And people worry about independent folks. But you can buy from them other days. It's really not going to kill anybody, I don't think. I'd love to hear from listeners about this. Our number here is 503-231-8187. Here's some ideas from the November 4th, hashtag Buy Nothing Day. Join millions of us across 60 countries this November 24th, 25th if you live outside North America, to celebrate the art of living lightly on this planet. Because that's what this is about now. It's not just about not consuming things. It's about find out what it feels like to go cold turkey on consumption for 24 hours. I think you can do it, people, and we can do it together. Spend a little more time with people you like. Halfway through the day, you might have, they say, a life-changing epiphany. Here's some ideas. Get your family together and decide to do things differently. Instead of buying useless presents for your friends and family, why not bake them a cake, write a poem, give them a kiss, tell a joke, but for God's sake, stop thrashing the planet to tell someone you care. I love that. All it shows is that you don't, by George Monibol.
My siblings and I stopped giving gifts about 4 years ago, and it's
been grown up, so we can get our own
stuff.
Well,
and our children are grown up, so everybody was like, how many layers of generations do we have to give individual gifts to? And it was really actually starting to make a lot of people feel strained in the weeks before the holiday to try to find something appropriate or the right thing that was within their budget and all that. And so we just threw it all out, and we do a game instead where you buy a gift for under $10 and everybody and you wrap it up and nobody knows what it is, and you do a sort of round robin thing where you each
and
get
I,
a chance.
And
that way we get to feel like, and we get silly gifts and funny gifts and great gifts, you know, like a great, you know, this or that. But it's, and we don't do it on a shop no nothing day, but actually I'm being honest, everybody is relieved and we love each other just as much and enjoy our company probably even more.
And if you want to get someone a gift, do it any time of year.
Yeah,
gifts are a personal thing between you and someone else instead of a mandated consumerism.
Well, that's what I when you brought this up to me that was this day, I thought, what have they done to us? I've been having my own struggles with advertising, Google advertising to me at the bottom of my search page, you know, the bottom two thirds of my search page, playing a quote free game that every few minutes gives me a 5 second ad.
For people who started with a do no evil motto. Right. Google has certainly done a turnaround.
And I just feel overwhelmed by being them trying to literally grab my eyes to look at the product they want me to want. And I think it's just bad for us to be turned into, like, we're not citizens, we're not residents, we're not neighbors, we're not all these other names, we're consumers. You know, and every time I hear that, I think of a caterpillar eating at the front end and pooping out the back end. And of course, we are like that, really, if you get far away, you know, and look down on us like the little ants we are. But, you know, we're creatures doing that. But we are not primarily really, that doesn't define who I am, what my desire to own things, my acquisitiveness. That
well, and it's a much bigger problem than opioids, as far as I'm concerned, as far as addictions go.
Well, and one of the reasons to avoid shopping on this day, why does it make any difference this day than on other days, is because it's just sort of, you know, putting your hand up and saying, hey, I'm not being manipulated today by you guys. I'm going to step back and not become, you know, almost a herd animal. And they do definitely go for trying to provoke our needs, our wants. And, you know, they were starting opening stores yesterday at 5. I don't know what that means.
There were some years, and I haven't heard of that this year, but I haven't been on standard news, so I don't know, where people, like, were trampled. In front of Kmart, but yeah. I think maybe I'm wrong.
I hope nobody's trampled trying to get any kind of product or
right. And there are always really interesting things you can do. Adbusters suggests cutting up credit cards. Stand in a shopping mall with a pair of scissors and a sign offering passersby a simple service, sparing them from exorbitant interest rates and mounting debt with one considerate cut. The zombie walk, of course.
I wonder if they get people who actually, like, at that moment do it. I would love to. Camera on it.
Take this. Follow the logic of capitalist consumption to its inevitable cannibalistic conclusion. Wander the malls as the walking dead. We have the Jesus walk. Put on a Jesus mask and walk ever so slowly through the throngs of Christmas shoppers. Whirly Mart, which is congregate a few of your closest friends and all silently drive your shopping carts around in a long, inexplicable conga line without ever actually buying anything. These are fun things you can do. You know, I belong to the a bunch of folks that we were the What the Dickens Carolers.
Oh, how fun.
And what was funny, and so we did, because it was started by some costumey people, so we had good Dickens costumes, and we were in the Pioneer Shopping Mall, and we were going to sing out, and there was some controversy at the time with underwear at the Gap or somewhere. I can't remember. Oh, I mean, it was Victoria's Secret cotton underwear or something like that that was a problem. And so we were going to sing in front of there. And this woman came up to us and said, oh, so you're the choir, right? And they were going to pay people to be a choir. And she thought it was us. And if only we could have sung better. We weren't the, you know,
we weren't really great in your singing.
Apart from Teresa Mitchell, we were not particularly the world's best singers. But the lyrics to all the songs were anti-capitalist lyrics that we'd downloaded from some Occupy folks who had the anarchist carols. And it would have been great to just sort of set up. But we knew we couldn't really. But she thought we were it. She thought we were
so
it. We
much
probably
fun.
Should have gone.
I think that's a
the
very
yes men are sighing at us for not continuing to do that. But we did sing in front of a lot of places, and it, what was interesting is in malls, people just did walk by in a zombie like fashion
and not really even notice.
Not acknowledge.
They may
us.
Not
other
have even
outside
seen
they
you.
Did like well right and outside of the malls. People, we were in downtown Portland. Outside of the malls, people recognized us and were having fun with it. But inside, there is, I don't know what they put in the air.
That makes people, and I want to sort of, I know that there are great members of KBOO's community who are probably planning on shopping today, and maybe some of you are doing it because it's the first time that that particular computer you need for your child who's going to high school, or that a good warmer warm jackets are on low enough that you feel like you can actually have each one of your child have a warm jacket. There are all sorts of reasons, and to go shopping, but I want to assure you, I've studied this over the years and I've been around, that low sale price you see today, it will be lower. It will go lower. And it will go lower after Christmas specifically, but you don't even have to shop the first day after Christmas. Those prices keep going down depending on how bad we consumers have been and not bought enough to satisfy the large machine that says, I must sell more products to you at this time than any other time in the whole year. But I think you'll find those sales. So take a deep breath. Have a nice day. Don't get in there fighting the traffic. Don't, you know, have to be with extra people. Though last year I noticed when I drove by some malls that the traffic was not like it had been, and there were parking spaces. So perhaps that's that change that we're talking about, the 37% drop-off.
Well, if you look, malls are sort of collapsing. in many ways.
Is that really? I hadn't paid attention. Is that one of the phenomena going on with the change in
there's empties,
the internet and
that whole kind of brick and mortars side by side kind of thing, and but also we live in Portland, and to shop independently, to shop with independent stores, and to shop locally is such a big deal here. Maybe it's not. Give us a call, callers. Let us know what are your actions today. What do you think would be a great idea for people to do? I would love to hear what other people have to say with actions. I do like the conga line.
me too.
shopping cart thing. That is a really great one. 503-231-8187. Do it now instead of later.
We want to hear from you. We want you to really feel like you can get in and reach us.
Most of us are all full. I know.
Full of food, literally. last night's food.
We're still full, but have a sip of coffee and give us a call at 503-231-8187.
Now, maybe some of you have become part of what's a Buy Nothing project. It's different than the Adbuster Stop the Buy Nothing Day, but this is the Buy Nothing project is the short name of it, but they say buy nothing, give freely, share creatively. And this is an organization that started they started on Bainbridge Island, but these groups are forming all over the nation, apparently. And here in Portland, when I went on the Facebook, and you can look at this Buy Nothing PDX or other ways to bring it up. There are several groups, and what you do is you form a neighborhood group, and you use you use the kind of way of being together to share products. And so you can post anything you like to the Buy Nothing Project page. You use Facebook as a way to do that. Anything that you'd like to give away, lend, or share amongst neighbors. Ask for anything you'd like to receive for free or borrow. Keep it legal. Keep it civil. No buying or selling. No trades. No bartering. It's strictly a gift economy. And so this is what you do. And, you know, people have asked for all sorts of things like, I need a burial site for my just deceased dog. I need a ride home from the doctor on Wednesday, and I really don't want to do Uber. My kids are out of town. All sorts of different things. Casseroles, fresh baked bread people have brought to other people or freely shared and given back and forth. But apparently it's a pretty big phenomenon. And the idea is to once again, they're trying to make real the stepping out of this image that we're so propagandized by, that we're consumers, and bring us back to we're a sharing community. We can share with each other. We can, and it's not about getting something. It's about meeting and knowing and sharing our needs and our accomplishments and what we have with others.
And when I hear people talk about those sort of things, there's always satisfaction, and there's usually just frustration of when folks are either trolling out to the mall or even, I've got to find this online.
Yeah.
When folks are just shopping. I know, even for food.
Oh, well, yeah, because food with has gotten very expensive.
With this last holiday.
I can't tell you. I used to not do this. I used to go to one. I used to have a larger income and was at an age where I could anticipate it growing. And I shopped a different way, but now I go to one place, one of those outlet kind of grocery places for certain kinds of products that I know they have there cheaper than they do at the main stores I go to.
And they have good bulk at that place,
yeah,
I think, that you're talking
bulk,
about.
And then I go to another store that I found that's really, I've driven past it a million times, that sells clean meat. By that I mean, grass-fed, cage-free,
right,
and are not one of the high-end natural stores. So I'm able to go there and get meat at the cost I want. So I shop there for my meat. And then fresh vegetables and produce I try to get at like farmers market type things or the local
People's
things.
Has a great, I don't mind,
saying
farmers
this.
Market 24/7 every Wednesday between 2 and 7.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Everything is organic. You don't have to worry about it. For farmers market prices, they're the best. They're great people. It's a lot of fun.
And so, yeah, it hasn't really hurt me to shop this way. I've changed, but it's not like I'm suffering once I began a different routine. I'm very stubbornly like to do things the same way forever, but it doesn't hurt me at all to be pushed out of my routine and find a new place to
and
be.
And I think that's great. What I've noticed in the expensive places that I like to shop, but I'm going to get names from you afterwards and stop doing that, they have taken bulk way back.
Yes.
And of course, Amazon has purchased Whole Foods. And I've noticed
which
that...
Which is just so odd. I mean, I just
well,
don't...
I've noticed that the that it's very close to where I work. Sometimes I stop in there for something just for convenience sake. It's like, what? It's hard to do this now. It's like... traffic is so horrible in Portland. Do I spend more time in traffic trying to find a better place or just stop in here for 1 second? These are my
I know exactly
first,
what you mean,
first,
especially certain hours.
These are my
of
first
the day.
World problems. Yeah. But they're organic. The vegetables are slimming way down because they're trying to get prices down and become but it's like maybe a 10% of the vegetables and fruits that they have are organic.
I didn't realize that. I just know that it's ever more difficult. You know that the baseline price for meats, if you're a meat eater, mm-hmm. And you
oh,
do
yeah,
care
that's
about
insane.
How they're treated, it's gone up for sure. And it's reflected in all of our cafes and coffee shops.
But
and
I
restaurants.
Will say, Peoples is expensive. However, they are owner. Operated. It is not a corporation that you're going to...
There's no profit being
siphoned
off.
And it's all
off.
Organic. You don't have to worry. It's small, so they have to really keep... You'll see things on sale more often. It's small, so they have to keep things that are fresher. And they were having... one of the things that really irritates me this time of year is when the big corporate stores say, would you like to contribute to fill in the blank? And I'm like, why aren't you doing some of your profits for that? Whereas at Peoples, they were... saying rounding off to the next dollar for, and I can't remember exactly what it is now. I feel bad about that, but it was a it had to do with Native people for saying. But if it's Peoples is doing it, there's not profit at Peoples. I'm like, fine, I will of course round off to the next dollar for something that you all are.
It's definitely one of those things that our society, our capitalism has generated now, where I notice that because I use low energy in both natural gas and my power, I partly do that because we've just forever in my family been trying to lower our carbon footprint every year. But I also do it because it costs so much to do it in the winter, you know, with the prices going up. So they send me these things. You are such a good little consumer. You don't use your usual amount. How about give us some money to pay for wind? And I'm like,
I know. Well,
I'm cheapening my bill by using less power, but you want me to give money so that this company can say we have wind power, but I'm paying for it with extra every single month on my bill. They have that kind of setup on both natural gas and on electricity, and so they're literally asking me to pay for what they should have paid for. What you just said, we're expecting these companies to move to renewables, but they're telling you it's you have to pay in addition. to have that happen. And then they have these wonderful ads on with wind towers saying, aren't we a great power company because we have this wind powers that's being paid for you by you and me. I don't sign up for those things, and it really frustrates me that they're trying, it's sort of like the tax burden, they're trying to shift it down onto the people. It's there's a constant transfer of wealth to the top 10%.
I know, I remember being so excited when they said, here, you can be using renewable power. And then I went, wait, but you're going to charge me more for it. Interesting.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, we have a caller. Lou is on the line.
Morning. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Lou?
Well, I'm thinking about, visibility for Buy Nothing Day. Buy Nothing Day has been around a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at print media in Portland, and I haven't found some of the smaller papers this week, like The Scanner, The Observer, or even Street Roots. But I haven't seen anything about Buy Nothing Day with, of course, the Tribune, the Oregonian,
Kelsapriese,
Mercury, or Willamette Week, which a couple of people I know think those two papers are kind of alternative papers. But
they do more journalism than
the normal.
And
there's nothing left of the Oregonian anymore, let's face it.
Right.
Right. Well, I'm following, I don't know if... how Chloe is, our new progressive city commissioner on Buy Nothing Day, but it sounds like she's in a feud with the Oregonian in particular over political free speech on her part.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to ask you about if either of you had gone to Lloyd Center, like in this fall.
I was there a few weeks ago, yes.
Did you notice anything about the malls sort of shutting down, even though they just built a $1 million staircase on one side?
Or? Well, it certainly appears like that to me, too, and I wondered
what
was
going
to fill in the blank hallways where Yeah, it's since they lost their anchor store down on the one end, they
Nordstrom's or
yeah, and then they began to lose other ones as all the work was going on, and not everything's come back. And I agree, it looks very empty, and like it is. You're wondering, well, when's it going to fill up again?
Well, we're.
I don't think it will.
Yeah, you mentioned Amazon online stuff. Do you think that there's some utility, or people should completely boycott 365 days a year any online shopping, or do you think there are certain categories of things? Like
I don't know. What
Amazon?
Do you think?
Oh well,
we're not the experts. We're just asking for.
Right. Well, at Portland State, we have a film program that's like left-wing political films.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is Barnes & Noble has DVDs at Lloyd Center, but kind of expensive and not that great selection, although more than other brick-and-mortar stores. But Amazon, within certain parameters, has better prices, and they have a fairly good selection on international films that are political and left-wing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we can't find ones so far, and we'll probably go do a research trip to Mike's Movie Madness, since that's still open and didn't fold.
You know, try the library, too.
Right. To look for films that are maybe like pro-labor films.
Uh-huh.
There's one called Danes about a true historical organizing campaign in Belgium by socialists in the 1890s against homelessness and for factory workers. And we haven't found that one. There's one called A Single Spark, which is a true story in South Korea about labor organizers under the dictatorship in probably the 80s. We haven't found that one yet either. I thought I would ask you, if there's time, to what you think about boycotts and buying things that are targeted with boycotts during the course of the year. Or do you think it should just be Buy Nothing Day for Black Friday?
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, well, again, at
Portland State, he wanted to know what we thought.
I know. Right. I don't put myself out as the expert. I don't know what boycotts do anymore.
Uh-huh.
Well, the boycott and divestment movement is certainly
yes,
and that's not a no shop, but it is against shopping certain things like that. And we're talking about the BDS movement. It wouldn't be getting so much suppression from the right wing if it wasn't having an impact in changing how people think
about Israel. Absolutely. In that case, I completely agree. As far as just consumerism goes, there are just so many ways to consume at this point. It's not just stores. It's not even just Amazon. It's though Amazon's quite a conundrum, because they have very good prices, and they are incredibly evil. There is no place worse. That treats their workers worse.
Mm-hmm. Is that why Trump hates Amazon? Apparently, or no?
No,
who knows?
I think he's pretty. I think he's got treating his employees badly down.
I don't think
he needs training in that area.
Yes, I had no idea that I didn't know who the temper tantrum was with the Cheeto today. But I don't know about consumer boycotts, if those are quite as effective as they used to be. But I don't put myself as the big authority on that. I think people need to find out for that. And if it feels like it's something that's really important to you to boycott, if things are so personal. The political is personal at this point. It feels really important to you to boycott something, to not buy products from them, then don't do it.
Well, there are.
You know, in the terms of the 365 days that you were saying, I think it has never hurt me to cut back on my consumerism. It's only helped me. So, like when we stopped buying extra holiday gifts. So those aren't particular boycotts, but I do think that the practice of breaking away from being in the grip of the constant buying is really a good thing. That's why I brought up that other organization, Buy Nothing, Give Freely, Share Creatively. It's sort of like, how can I have the interchange and acquire the things I do need without it being this overall change yourself into one big vacuum cleaner?
And it just having to just buy, I like this project Linda is talking about, because people can interact with each other and find a way. This particular Western culture is about independence and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, even if you don't have any. And there's a loneliness in just going out and buying something. I'm just going to go get it. I don't want to have to deal. And part of that is people are too busy working three jobs so that they can afford their rent and food, which also keeps us lonely. Does that answer your question at all?
Well, I'm mostly with, you know, I know that you all are saying you're not experts, but I haven't listened to your program before, so I'm curious what your thoughts are. There are some organized boycotts, some on things like housing and transit-related boycotts. But I thought I would ask you, since I think invisibility is one of the problems, that I probably, since we worked at Portland State quite a bit on boycotts, we think they're vastly underutilized and incredibly useful. It sounds like one of you, at least, had said maybe those were like a historical thing, like, I don't know, Cesar Chavez and farm workers, or South African boycotts against Coca-Cola, or there's been a ton of really, Dr. King did a bunch of boycotts.
Right. Shopping was different then, though.
What was that? Shopping?
Shopping was different.
Well, I think one thought I might have, especially on a couple of corporations, Coca-Cola now and Wells Fargo in particular, I think boycotts, there's one organized against Coca-Cola. And Wells Fargo, I don't know if you've talked to any or had the students from Reed on KBOO lately about their occupation against Wells Fargo.
No, I haven't.
It's been reported, though.
It's been reported. And you know, I think that when you find one like that, I think it really makes sense to go ahead and join in.
I forget because I haven't had Coca-Cola in years, in 100 years, and wouldn't put any money in Wells Fargo to save my life. So you're right. Those are very good things.
And an advantage of what sounds like at least one of you may think of as being sort of an old-fashioned consumer boycott, is you're trying to embarrass the corporation. You can also try to, like at Portland State, we kicked Taco Bell out. There was a farm worker boycott against Taco Bell. But on Coca-Cola specifically, and I'll let other people have a share of the conversation, there's a ballot measure, and I haven't heard KBOO people say if they like it or not, but it's...
The soda pop.
Correct, yeah, to pass a tax on sugar and soft drinks, which we support, and we're also doing, in case it does or doesn't pass, to evaluate continuing this boycott against Coca-Cola. And there's a bunch of products that Coke has that doesn't have Coca-Cola in the name, but one of the problems with ballot, like, we think that's a really good taking back part of healthcare to get the soft drink ballot measure passed next year in Portland. There are some other cities that have passed it already. I think Philadelphia, Seattle, and San Francisco. And Portland's supposed to be liberal and progressive. So we think that's a really good ballot measure. But we also think it's important in terms of boycotts and ballots kind of reinforcing each other, that people boycott Coke and then evaluate, well, does the ballot measure pass or not, to evaluate continuing the boycott on Coca-Cola. Well,
and if you do one teeny little bit of research about how many products Coca-Cola has. I mean, sometimes I'm like, I want to get water somewhere because I forgot to bring it or whatever, and there's Dasani all over everything. That's a Coca-Cola company.
Yeah, well, that's one of the advantages of multinational corporations. And in Coke's case, we're doing flyers that just, like they say, Dasani, Odwalla, Boycott Minute Maid, Powerade. They just bought Vitamin Water.
That's Coca-Cola. Can I ask you, is there a Facebook page or a website that people can...
There's a phone number, if you want a phone number.
Sure, what's that?
503-222-2974.
You know, because I have not paid much attention to the soft drink ballot, and part of it is I've just thought of it as a generic thing about should we allow that much sugar at school, and I generally felt no, it's not good to have it there, but I hadn't gone any deeper than that, and I wasn't even aware of the Coca-Cola boycott, and I apologize for not being...
Well, but that's kind of what I'm saying about invisibility and media. One of the things you may already know or not about sugar and the sugar industry historically, William Wilberforce, is that a name that y'all have heard of? He organized a boycott against the sugar industry in general in UK in the early 1800s against slavery, because a lot of slave labor was used for producing sugar.
And sugarcane.
And apparently William Wilberforce, who was kind of a progressive but evangelical Christian and apparently liberal on many issues, for 20 years in, I believe, the House of Commons, kept trying to get a law passed to outlaw the international slave trade by Britain. And eventually succeeded in doing that 50 years before the Civil War in the United States outlawed slavery. So I think it's, as a history major, it's useful at times to look at ways history can help hold accountable more than just elections through boycotts, large corporations. The only other thing I would add is one of the problems, which if you all have been in Oregon a while, you already know about, with ballot measures that are progressive that look good initially, there were three that we've identified. The GM labeling bill a few years ago, the fluoride bill maybe 5 years ago, and there was another one that was kind of, Measure 97 last year.
Oh, yes.
All three of those started out 20 points ahead in the polls when they first got introduced.
Right.
But they all lost by roughly 20 points when the election came because of Citizens United and corporate cash from out of state coming in. So what we're hopeful...
We can go back to the PGE Trojan, closed Trojan one where it was they swore up and down and spent millions of dollars telling us you could not close Trojan quickly. And then when they won, and that meant the cost would be shoved onto the consumer, quote, consumer, and us, the customers of them, they closed it down within 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, well...
Money, so they lie with their money, and...
Sure. Well, money in politics is a pervasive problem, and one possible way to try to address that, aside from global revolution, which may or may not happen with Trump, is to try to identify specific sorts of issues where you can chip away at the right wing trying to expropriate more and more profits for drug companies, for soft drink corporations.
Right. And, you know, with soft drink, it's not so much that they have sugar. They are corn syrup. I don't think much of Coca-Cola actually uses cane sugar.
Well, and that...
They use... yeah.
And the advertising is always...
High fructose corn syrup.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, then the advertising is, you know, we're green and we have Coke Zero and...
Greenwashing.
It's the traditional, whatever that's called. Yeah, there you go, greenwashing. Yeah. Exactly. Thanks for talking to me. Bye.
Lou, thank you. Thank you very much. I love our listeners. Lou, thank you for all that information. That was great. That's why we want you to call. And now we have Jane on the line.
Hi, I'm sorry. You know, I guess I called in about kind of the global capitalism was that... you know, in Abenomics, I'm sure you guys are familiar, part of it was to spend money to grow the economy. And I guess I was, I tried to call in to a guy who was talking about capitalism and the rugged individual. And I heard not the last caller, but the previous caller talking about capitalism in America. And I just, you know, I called in because I had something to say actually about something else, but I was thrown off by the caller ahead of me because he was talking about the gun shootings in Vegas.
You know, I think the wrong radio show.
I know.
We're trying to be kind of on top. Hello, excuse me.
I'm sorry. He cut me off because he...
This is not even our radio station. Who have you been listening to? You're not even talking about our radio station.
No. I'm talking about your radio station on Wednesday's show, and I wanted to say...
Well, honey, I'm
sorry, dear. He was talking about the rugged individual and capitalism, and they don't believe in that, and there's 30 million people in Tokyo. And it's actually... I just wanted to say that... I thought people should check into that Abenomics is actually spend money to help the economy because they're actually having very serious problems. So while we're talking about this, they're talking about that, and that's the other side of the world, and we're kind of interrelated. And I guess that was all I had to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jane.
Meanwhile...
Well, and this is, you're listening to Positively Revolting Radio on KBOO. It is a call-in show, and we're talking about Do Nothing Friday. Oh, I like that. We're talking about Black Friday.
I think that should go in there.
Yeah, and we're talking about Buy Nothing Friday, really. Is what we want to talk about is you know, and it goes to the question of how does this being identified as a consumer, how does all the manipulation you face every day to get your eyes to purchase something?
What is, Teresa Mitchell just texted us, as she will. Consumerism is the weaponization of our loneliness.
Wow, that's really good, actually.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, Teresa doesn't know what she's talking. We should let people know that they can communicate with us that way.
503-231-8187. And also, if you can follow us on Facebook at Positively Revolting, and you can... communicate with us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. We're also on the Twitters at Positive Revolt. We're everywhere, I tell you, everywhere. But so you can also call in at 503-231-8187. It's kind
And do you have shopping plans for today? Did you look at the all those ads and go, well, darn, that's what I really wanted to get for my brother or whatever, and find yourself wanting to, maybe not even wanting to rush out, but planning to rush out to that big box store or to that mall out there that has the one item, call us and tell us if that's what's your...
Even if politically I didn't want to do it.
I wouldn't want to do it physically. I know.
The thought physically of being in the middle of that when I could cozily be at home with my cat knitting and watching some movie that I had was streaming. So we do
have someone on the line.
Yes,
oh, great.
Conscious on hold. He wants to talk about Green Friday.
Hi, Conch.
Green Friday.
Yes.
Green Friday at the Oregon State Parks.
What is that?
Inform us, please.
They're waiving all their fees. It's a nice day. Get out in the fresh air and liquid sunshine, or whatever we have that passes for sunshine. They're waiving fees, and at many parks, they're giving you free coffee and snacks.
Oh, wow.
All
that's
day
wonderful.
Today. OregonStateParks.org. So check it out.
That's great.
I like that because
frankly, it is great,
I don't
but it's
like
not
it
supposed
when
to
I
rain.
Get paid to when I have to pay to park at a park.
Yeah.
Somehow I always mind that. I'm like, wait, but didn't I pay for the park out of my taxes? And don't I pay for the roads out of other taxes? How come I have to pay to park here when I just want to come and
because
be in the outdoors?
Corporations don't pay any taxes and they're making
yeah,
it up with fees.
They shifted it all onto us. But this sounds great, Conch. I really appreciate
Thanks.
You calling in.
Oh, and while you're at it, you know, after you get home from the park, check out there's a comment period for the U.S. national parks. On whether or not you want to see fees triple for visiting the national park.
I would say Linda
right.
probably doesn't want them to.
No.
And, through December 22nd, you can comment, apparently, on the National Parks, U.S. National Parks website, so go check that out.
Thanks.
But today, go check out an Oregon State Park.
Thank you very much. A very good call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We're here at Positively Revolting. Want to hear what your plans are for the day, and what do you think about Black Friday? Do you ignore it? Do you, you know, jump right in and swim with the crowd? Call us. Let us know. We want to hear from you. It's 503-231-8187.
Just like Chris did. Chris, hello. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the great show, as always. I wanted to say real quickly, and is nothing against you guys, but I was a little disappointed when you said you didn't know if boycotting makes a difference or if it really has an important role, something along those lines you said a little while ago. And I really take issue with that. For me, boycotting things I don't believe in is a moral and ethical, personal consideration. And I can't, if possible, make myself go against my own ethical grain.
No, I totally agree with that.
I
totally agree with that.
About 90% of companies. I upcycle everything, and if I can't, I will buy it. And I will go to a small independent store if it's possible. If I have to get online, which I avoid, I try not to ever use Amazon, maybe twice in my life had I had to go to that degree, which is really against my grain, to buy something. So I feel like we should support the ethical notions behind boycotting. I think they're really the important factor. If everybody kind of lived a life of ethical decision making as such about what they can support, what they can actually give their money to in an ethical way, I think you would see a lot of corporations affected. I don't think it doesn't make a difference. For my life, it is everything. So I refuse to accept things, to pay for things that I don't ethically believe in, if possible. It's not always possible. I have to agree. I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you for calling in,
Chris. I hope
Chris.
You didn't.
No,
you are so welcome, and thank you so much for your show. I really, really believe in everything you guys do. But
was a question. It was a question. I'm not sure. I mean, on the micro level, and what that is doing is giving you a feeling of accomplishment, and that's really good. I'm just not always sure about.
Oh, you mean the boycotting?
Yeah.
And the boycotting on a micro level.
Yeah.
Well, it is a micro level. I'm one person. How much of a dent can I make? In my ethical mind, in my world that I have to live in from day to day with myself, it makes 100% of a difference.
No. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Yes, I agree. And I couldn't agree with you more. So that is true. And thank you for doing that. And thanks for listening to our show. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And time to go shopping in your closets, people. 503-231-8187. We've got lines open. What are you doing for this Buy Nothing Friday? How are you staying out of the consumer treadmill, the little hamster wheel buy more, buy more, buy more, buy more, buy more?
Well, and I liked what our
And also, if you got a good deal, it's worth it. I always remember, I don't see this so much with my friends anymore, but I remember as a child, people, my parents and their aunts and uncles and things would get something because it was a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they were actually going to use it was another story. And I have to say, I don't see as much of that these days, and I'm okay with that.
Well, you know, I do like what the last caller was saying about making her ethics be how she chooses what to purchase, and that infuses through her whole life. And I'm assuming that infuses like how much she uses her electric power at night, and you know, whether she uses the most efficient heaters. There's all sorts of ways that we can practice. And she's calling it boycotting the bad products, and I appreciate that. But I do some of those same things, but I'm not thinking of myself as boycotting something else, but choosing something that's towards a better environment. But I think that either way that you look at it, it is important to try to live your ethics. I think it's very hard. I know that they have done these very difficult videos where they've gone up to shoppers in a store like the Walden family owns, and they're buying, like, say, a pair of jeans for, you know, $8 on a super buy day or something like that. Or there's another store that's always advertising all sweatshirts, $10.
Who had to die to make those sweatshirts.
But yeah, too. And so they've had an actual woman who had to sew those products in, I think, the Marianas Islands, but basically works 6 days a week, all day, living in a dorm, away from her family, away from her children, to make those products to earn just enough to live. And then they had her listen to this interview. And the interview was, people would go up to people in the mall and they'd say, if you knew that these were the conditions the woman lived in who made this pair of pants and that it took this out of her life, would you not buy them? And unfortunately, most of the people shopping for those low-end products in that interview, they said, I would feel bad about it, but I would still go it. My own economics are bad, and I need to take care of myself, so I'm sorry about them, but I would go ahead and buy it. And I think, boy, we have to really think about that when we're put in a position by the system of economics of this world, that we have to, in a way, help make another person's life hell to be able to afford a new shirt for our kid.
And there are resale stores.
Well, and we've also found out that it used to be the average person had something, I saw stats on this, had something like 25 pieces of clothing, and now we have something like 80. And so our sense of need has not gone away, even when we have way more.
Yes. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
I know that. I have a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
And I know that. It's
I know
also,
people who have a whole spare bedroom filled of clothes with their roommates because their closets aren't big enough. And they're not wealthy and they're not extravagant. That's just what they've accumulated over the years. And great sales.
Right.
And flannel pajamas.
Yeah. It's fun to go through your clothes once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And discard those things. I've heard people make fun of the whole thing about, well, if it doesn't give you joy. But because that's how I am with clothes. I have to like them.
But I'm always
good.
But it
go.
Might give so me joy people. If someone has a party and I wear it that particular.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that. But anyway, again, we've got folks waiting to talk. Tim is on the line.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I've done a lot of work in social change all my life. And there's a couple things you mentioned. One thing... for that lady who was concerned about being able to get the things her family needed and therefore she had to shop on Black Friday, your earlier point was about that if enough of us boycotted it, they would lower the prices even more afterwards, so she would be able to save even more money for her children and buy more things by participating and supporting the boycott. And the more people who join, the lower the prices are going to go because they have such amount of surplus. And the idea of the boycott, also when you were talking about micro and macro levels, Yeah, it's true. A lot of us as individuals can do what we can on an individual level. But we do need to realize that there's another level above that. You know, it's what we can do in our households, in our homes, and for ourselves. That's the micro level. But when it comes to the streets and to organizing and participating and supporting organizations physically, you know, taking your time and your effort and your body and committing to it and meeting like-minded people and having your spirits and their spirits lifted, the more people who join, the more who believe in the change, that's where the micro level comes in, and that's why that's important.
Thanks, well, Tim. You make that sound like fun.
Yeah, and you make a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Buy nothing.
Have a
buy nothing today.
Happy post-genocide day.
Yeah, right. Genocide cover-up day. Yes, thank you. And then we've got time's a wasting, but we've got Carolyn on the line.
Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Making it quick. I am pinged out. P-H-I-N-G-E-D. Out.
Say that again.
You're losing out.
You're a little.
A noun or verb.
You're drifting pinged in and out a little bit.
P-H-I-N-G-E-D. Out.
Thinging out.
I
got it.
Thinged out.
Like getting thinged rid of, you're tired of things.
Right. I have too many things.
A common
and
condition.
I laugh as I say that.
I know.
Well, if you ever try to do a garage sale or one of those kinds of things and then see what you've got left over, you do know you have too many things. I've had that experience.
Right. Okay. That's why I don't go buying things.
I got it.
Yeah, I know. We say shopping in our own closets.
Well, and you know, just think
and
there wouldn't even be a
hoarder's
show if we didn't hoard. I'm making a joke of hoarding, which can be a serious mental problem.
Right.
But there's also this sense of acquisitiveness that we're continuously told we need this, we need that. You know, there's this special thing that takes the hair off your chin and just all sorts of exciting products.
Well, or that we'll find comfort from more things. Right, Carolyn. So, what do you do? What do you do to expunge all these things?
Well, I use them until there's nothing more that left of them, and then I get rid of them. And maybe when I can't use something completely, or it's completely done for me, I give it to Goodwill or Salvation Army.
Or both of those organizations. I have problems with both those organizations, but it's good to you know in Portland.
There's also Community Warehouse, which is a place where you can give larger furniture that goes to people who are low income, and they will even come pick up if you've got enough furniture for them to bring one of their trucks out and help load. So there are lots of ways that we can. Even if you don't like those particular organizations, there's lots of places where you can move your used items on.
And
I live out.
Go ahead, sweetie. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I live in an area like Hillsboro, where it's sort of quote suburb end quote, where there's not a whole lot of. The only recycle place I can think is the one that has furniture that's, as I understand. And that's about it that I know about in my area. But you're right, that's a good thing to do, but you've got to live where those organizations exist.
Yeah, and I lived in an area where you would put anything on the curb.
Well,
and
I do.
It
right
was
now.
Gone, yeah. It would just be gone in moments. Things like I had computer towers. I was moving at the time and thinking this will never. Yeah. Well, I'll give it a try. Things are gone.
Yeah. I live in inner southeast, and people are always putting stuff out in the alleys and marking them as free. Or the only problem is with the rain here, I'll see some free item that gets destroyed by the rain.
Hear you.
Oh,
right.
Sorry.
This is the problem. Yeah, and I happen to live a cul-de-sac off a cul-de-sac, and so there are no sidewalks on my cul-de-sac off a cul-de-sac.
Right.
And I know because I've done doors for supporting political candidates in Portland, the city, that there are places that are whole streets worth of no sidewalks.
Right.
Yes.
So, which is another issue altogether.
Another. dimension, okay?
All right, well,
do you use the internet? Do you go to Facebook? Because you might be interested in one of these Buy Nothing projects.
I don't have time for Facebook. I'm a home care worker, and right now I'm on my way to a client.
All right, well, thank you for calling,
Carolyn. Thanks for reaching us, Carolyn. We appreciate it.
Annalisa.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, I just have a short comment. When you see those sales, 40% off, 70% off, you save. But if you don't buy at all, then you save 100%.
True that.
That's what you save. So I'm not going anywhere except with some friends and things today. And about the shopping cart thing, one person doesn't make that much impact. But if there are 10 people in a row walking with empty shopping carts, around and around and around, and more people might follow, that's when people will start paying attention.
Absolutely.
Anyway, have a wonderful day.
You too, Annalisa.
Thank you, Annalisa.
Thanks.
I think I am going to drive by my closest mall just to check out what the traffic is like, you know, just to do a little observations and see how did they think they did this year.
It's going down.
It's been, well, they've not had their successful holiday shopping periods
for a
few years.
Part of that is that just how people shop is changing.
Right.
From bricks and mortar to online.
I wonder if you take out the social aspect of shopping that malls still do provide, and you know, you see people, whole families coming through the malls and stuff. If you take away that place where, actually, and I was on the island of Kauai, and it was a small mall with a ubiquitous coffee shop, one that you would recognize the name of, that was the community center, very rarely there on that small island. People came in to have coffee there. They sponsored a powwow there, where people came from the mainland and stuff. So these places as social constructs, what happens as they die away and we shop individually, I wonder if it will what it will do to how much we shop, and I wonder what it will do to our social connection.
In Mexico, the place that Ani and I go to a lot, we were there on a Sunday in June, and everybody went to the mall because it was air conditioned.
And
walked around and went to movies.
And saw each other and flirted and tried on stuff you couldn't buy.
It seemed like there was more socializing than purchasing going on. So, I don't know.
And being from the Lloyd Center neighborhood, I will say that I have seen that often in that mall, that I have seen, you know, a Saturday when it seemed like there's one's very diverse population and lots of families and girlfriend and boyfriends and, you know, just lively. That's changed a lot as the earlier caller said, since they've been renovating. I don't know if they've renovated themselves out of existence.
And it would be nice to have another commons area besides.
Sure. An actual commons area that wasn't commercially profitable for someone else.
Well, we have Helen on the line. We've got 4 minutes. Helen, what do you have to say?
Well, number one, my birthday is on December 24th, so it's always been, well, my mother was very good about celebrating my birthday on the day, but it's always been difficult. But through the years, what I say about everything is I celebrate life every single day. And I think that is something we should all think about. But it's almost like we need the Christmas season to take away looking at life itself. I mean, the weather, what else? I don't know. You know, I don't know what to say about that. It's just the way it is. Anyway, I want to also say, I used to go to the Tacoma Mall up in Tacoma, and actually there are a lot of people like, what are you going to do? You know, Saturday, you go in the mall, and you can walk and just see so many people. It's like a big park, but it's inside.
That's one of the things it is, yes, inside. Well, thanks for your call, Helen. You know, Christmas, this whole the Christians put Christmas in this time of year because it was a time when it was a more agrarian society, and we had different kinds of religions, that this was a time of the year when we celebrated the coming back of the light. Solstice was a big celebration, and people were, you know, they had a rhythm of work and feast. And so this time of year was the time to gather with your friends, have a party, have some...
Well, and the loss of the light was really significant. Maybe you're just one of those people here in Portland that ends up going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark, but many of us really feel the darkness strongly, and that, you know, all over the planet, at least on the northern half of the planet, this would be the time of year, you know, culminating in the equinox, when we would actually be, looking for that light. And I always think of that song at Christmas that goes, "Do you see what I hear? Do you see?" Because I'm always looking for the light by December 24th, very much.
And what an excellent way to end our show today. I want to, Linda, thanks for all the subbing you've done for
us. It's so much fun to get to do this show and have your audience call in.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week, positively revolting as ever.
Thank you, Ray, our engineer.
And thank you, Ray.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 2017 Iconic Music Party, Thursday, November 30th at 8 p.m. at the 6 West Lounge in Vancouver, Washington. Performing at this year's Iconic Music Party will be the True Original Beings, C4 The Prodigy, MC Groan, Mike Crenshaw, Caleb Wildcard, and Ivan Jamel. There will also be EDM and hip-hop DJs at the 21 and Over event. Again, that's the 2017 Iconic Music Party on Thursday, November 30th, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. at 6 West Lounge, 606 Broadway Street in Vancouver, Washington. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world, and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that will make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Moving On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard.